Welcome to Green Shoots. I'm Ryan Balaji. It's good to have you with us. Jake Gordon joins me. He is the CEO and founder of Notify, which is a new service, well, relatively new service, that I think golfers will be particularly interested in that are recreational players, not just professional fans of the game. Jake, thanks for joining me. First, can you give people the 60-second elevator pitch on Notify, what it is, and how they can benefit from it?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Ryan, for having me. So Notify is an automated booking assistant to help golfers find tee times and really to help golf courses connect their supply with golfers in real time. So what we allow golfers to do is to effectively put their tee time playing preferences, whether it's on Saturdays in the mornings, so specific days and times. And as soon as there's a match between the course's availability and that golfer's preferences, they get a text message right to their phone, alerting them that that time's come available. They can click through and book it right away. So effectively, we want to make calling and refreshing to find a tee time extinct. And we're working directly with the course operators to be able to do this. So you can think of us like a virtual wait list or a booking assistant, but we're really matching course supply and golfer demand in real time.
So where'd you come up with the idea? How did this come to you? And then we'll get to the development of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually new to the golf world. I never picked up a golf club until 3 years ago, around COVID time. Before that, I was actually a college wrestler and spent professionally the last 5-10 years working in technology. I was late bloomer into the game of golf, but like many others, completely fell in love with it, got the bug really bad. And, just so happened that when I got the golf bug, many of my other friends came from other sports or industries also fell in love with it. And so I was living in Southern California, and I was anointed in my friend group as the tee time booking guy, which, as I think every golf group has a designated tee time booking guy or gal. And it's a pretty thankless, soulless responsibility. And, I was shocked. My technique was, I'd check, maybe the incumbent booking apps, the aggregators and marketplace apps, and very regularly would see absolutely nothing in terms of desirable courses and desirable times. So alternatively, I'd have 9 tabs open and every single course I wanted to play, and I'd smash the refresh button on like a, Thursday morning, Friday morning, and you just pray to the golf gods that that 9 a.m. Saturday tee time shines open when there's a cancellation. And, after maybe a month or two of mastering this technique, I one day just thought, this is madness. This is crazy. And then you talk to golfers and everybody says, about their tee time booking woes. And I realized that we really could solve this problem. This wasn't trying to be like Elon Musk landing, a rocket on Mars or anything like that. This is a solvable problem. And my whole background is working with early stage startups, working with helping ventures and technology companies solve big problems. So I realized that, we might be able to do something here with technology. And it started as just this idea, like, why don't we create a site or an app that can help golfers automatically find the tee times that they're looking for? And connect, me with all the courses I want to play in real time. And that's how we kind of embarked, started with just an idea that knocked me in the head. And I said, this needs to exist in the world. Like, I need to bring this into reality, and was kind of possessed to do so. And then long story short, we started with focusing on the consumer side with, helping golfers find tee times. But as I started talking to many operators and multi-course operators, came to realize that, really we could work with the golf courses to be like a virtual wait list or booking assistant to help them get off the phone and spend more time with customers, book more tee times. And long story short, ended up leaving my corporate venture gig where, I was previously leading up a big team in New York, and have jumped all in on the golf founder train. So it's been an awesome journey, and, going from idea to scaling up in just about a year and a half.
So your background in early stage capital, early stage startups. Is that more on the tech side, coding side, or is that more on the funding side? And as you got into this idea, did that help, that background help you try to find resources from one side or the other in terms of making this thing happen? Because obviously people have a good idea, but they may not necessarily have the resources or the know-how to take that next step to make it a reality.
Yeah, absolutely. So my job, I was working at big technology consulting firm called Accenture. And I was leading up our ventures team and open innovation team in the Northeast. My job was to work with early stage and growth stage startups to really broker partnerships and sales and opportunities with the Fortune 500. So every day I was working with startups and working with big companies and figuring out how we can solve big company problems with early stage technology. And it's always this chicken and the egg with that industry, because startups have great tech, but they struggle to scale, and big companies have big problems and they want to work with startups, but they don't really know how. And so I was kind of this intermediary or bridge, if you will, between the startup world and the big corporate world. And it was the best job. It was so much fun. But you're right. It kind of gave me this understanding of how to make sure that technology startups are have what it takes to deliver to big companies. And so when I did have this idea, I kind of knew how to get started. And one thing you learn in kind of the venture and tech world is whenever you have an idea, you want to create a minimally viable product. You want to create the least, you know, functional but effective version of your product to test it. And so what I actually did, you know, to answer your question, I've always been on the business side. I'm not a programmer or coder. But one of the first things I did when I had the idea was to, first of all, hire a development team to start putting together a prototype. And in parallel, I put out some Facebook ads and I just said, you know, to test if this idea resonated, and maybe I was the only one in the world who had this challenge. But I put out some Facebook ads that said, "It sucks finding a tea time. We found a better way. Sign up for the wait list if you want to try out our product." And we actually got 3,000 or 4,000 people to sign up for this wait list. And then what I was doing is, as I was building the product with the technology team, I was really actively talking to my early community of users. And I was saying, you know, what do you think about this feature? What do you guys think about this branding? I did some activations, like submit your best ideas and I'll send you a sleeve of Provies. And so I was kind of building a relationship with my early users. Just so happened that one of those early users reached out to me and said, "Hey, I have some ideas. I'd love to try your product. I've always wanted to do this. I'm a senior software engineer, spent the last 10 years at Microsoft and Boeing and a bunch of startups. Would you be interested in collaborating?" And of course I said yes. And he was the first one who had my beta product. He wrote me pretty much an entire essay saying every single thing wrong with it. And I realized both, number one, he called my baby ugly, but also that I really needed someone like him in my corner. And his name is Dathan Wong. And today he's my co-founder and CTO. And we both left our jobs to take the full-time plunge. And I'm convinced Dathan's the best engineer in the golf world today. So it's been fun, kind of yin yang in terms of our skill set. But it's so important to round out a founding team with kind of complementary skills there.
So you had this significant community of people that were interested in the product, giving you early feedback. That's on the consumer side. What did you have or did you not have on the operator side in terms of early feedback for the product?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had definitely thought of ourselves as a consumer product, B2C, for the first maybe 3, 4, 5 months of the product, right? But thing number one is my entire experience is on the B2B side. So I'm very, very experienced working with kind of enterprise business software. But to be a consumer software founder, you think about Airbnb, Instagram, even like, you know, Pinterest, any technology that's main user is a consumer B2C. Whereas if it's a business that uses the software, that's B2B. And all my experience was in B2B. And so I kind of struggled early to like have an instinct around building a brand, doing influencer activation, you know, and being able to tell the market, you know, consumers the story. And so I kind of went back to my roots and I was like, you know, this technology is great, but is it, it's worth generating a ton of incremental revenue for courses and they don't even know. So, you know, I studied the golf market a little bit and realized that there's something called a multi-course operator. There are MCOs. And in fact, of the 10,000 US public courses, anywhere between 20 to 30% of all courses are operated by multi-course operators and MCOs. And so I said, you know what, let me just reach out to some. So I went on this kind of LinkedIn blitz where I reached out to the technology and directors of strategy at many of the largest MCOs. And I said, hey, I'm a tech guy, I'm a venture guy, but I'm in love with golf and I built this new thing. Do you have 15 minutes to give me feedback and take a look? And as I did that, I started to get some really, really good feedback from the operators that what we had here was pretty much something like a virtual waitlist that didn't really exist. And one of those MCOs at the very senior level kind of very directly said, you need to decide, are you a consumer product or are you a B2B product? Because it's really impossible to do both. And I kind of huddled up with Dathan and we thought about it because on one hand, there's nothing more fun than helping golfers find tee times. That's just, it's awesome. But we realized, you know, I think we're a B2B company first. And then as I kind of unpacked it, I said, hey, we can be kind of like LinkedIn, where LinkedIn's both interfacing with professionals and providing a social media and, but their core business is providing sales and HR software to big companies. So we can kind of be like that, where we can make it free for golfers, but also provide a ton of value as a kind of licensed subscription to operators. And that really resonated. And we eventually got to land and close one of the biggest multi-course operators in the country. And that kind of set us off on the journey we're on today. And so, you know, fast forward 3, 4, 5 months, been working very closely with Kemper Sports. And we're live today at, I think, 7 of the top 25 US public courses, Stream Song, Sand Valley, and soon Chambers Bay, which, you know, it's a pinch me experience because as a golf fan, as someone who just loves the game, you know, to kind of see our name and helping those properties, which are, you know, widely just revered and respected, you know, help them generate a lot of incremental revenue and make it more efficient while also helping the golfers at those courses is just a dream. And, you know, standing at Sand Valley a few weeks ago and help, you know, hearing about the impact that we've had, it just feels like a dream that I haven't woken up from yet, that in, you know, a year and a half going from idea to being in Sand Valley, it's awesome. So
you've got Kemper on board. Kemper's incredible. They're great folks. And you've got these incredible properties available through Notify. Kind of stepping down a couple of levels, the average weekend person probably plays, you know, their muni or their county owned course or their, you know, their privately owned public course, you know, within 10, probably 15 miles of their home is my guess. I don't know the exact number. So is there a geographic focus that you have to kind of then pivot toward as you grow to kind of capture, you know, Notify Baltimore, Notify DC, because I'm in that area? Or is that going to be really important moving forward? Or are golfers a little bit more fluid than I think, and they're looking for availability in a wider geographic swath of places?
Yeah, it's a really great question and something we talk about every single day internally, right? Because there's kind of two paths to getting this out to market. One is through Notify to the market, and then the other is through the course to their local players. And we've decided, at least while we're kind of young, lean, and mean, to go through the latter, which is we work with the multi-course operator who gets us to their nationwide portfolio. then they already have all of their local players as users that are regular, you know, they're used to it, right? Ryan plays in the Baltimore area. And if we can go through the course, they tell you, hey, Ryan, try our new booking assistant, right? And again, as a B2B company, like, we let them be the hero, right? You know, the course is the one who kind of uses their branding, their language to try, you know, to advocate for us. But obviously in parallel, we want to continue to build the consumer product. It's just been that our focus has been to really nail the landing. Like, what would have been terrible is if we had technical glitches, if we had hiccups, if we had problems or challenges. And if we had done that, I don't think we'd even have a company today with Kemper Sports, right? Because they took the risk. They are the ones who kind of made a bet and said, hey, like, we like what these guys are building. They're solving a problem. Let's see what they can do. And the last thing we wanted to do was kind of fumble the ball there. So, but now as we are growing, as we're kind of thinking about the future, I think the consumer side is something we want to lean back into. And so today we have a really vibrant product in use in the local Southern California market. Thousands of people have used the product. And now every time I go out and play public courses, I hear it's actually happened multiple times where my foursome or the other twosome found the time on Notify to play, which is kind of another cool pinch me moment. But we want to be in every major golf market. You know, if you think about Dallas, if you think about, you know, Scottsdale, if you think about even New York Metro and Florida and everywhere in between, there's no constraints to us getting there. It's just about where we're allocating our time and energy. And right now it's focusing on solving the operator problem, but it could change pretty quickly where you'll see us in every major market, maybe in the next few months.
Is the question of trying to get different operators on, does that kind of create a domino effect? If you get one, then you kind of start to get the others a little bit more easily. Have you found that so far? Or are they all kind of in their own empire fiefdom, so to speak, and they need you to come to them? They don't kind of seek out the alternative on their own.
Yeah, I think it's been a dance as well on that front, because on one hand, we've had some of the largest, most well-known multi-course operators reach out inbound, which is kind of crazy to, you know, hear, you know, household names in the MCO community say, hey, we want to learn more about Notify. We're excited about it. And then others are not doing that. And, you know, I think that's okay. Like, where we are now, the number one thing is just being able to deliver, being able to execute like that. And I remember that and learned that from my startup days, is there's a saying, like, you have to go slow to go fast. Right. And what that means is you don't need to take on every single enterprise customer that could possibly use your services. You want to just over deliver for everyone who bets on you in the early days. So I think where we're at now is going slow to go fast. Like, we want to, every customer we bring on, we want to 10x the value for them. And every single course, every single MCO, like, it's a privilege for us. Like, you know, as a startup, it's just like, if they're putting their brand next to our brand, you know, it's the duty is on us to not botch that. And so, yeah, I mean, we'll see how everything plays out the next few months. But I do think that, you know, having a brand like Kemper on definitely gives us credibility, because they wouldn't work with something that's not working, right? And they wouldn't be expanding us if it wasn't adding value to their golfers and their operators. I mean, they did a study this year that showed, I think, 55 to 58% of all golfers are looking for a better way to find tee times online.
Yeah,
that was a 2023 survey that they found. And so I think they're looking for a solution to that problem, right? And good for them for actioning on an insight, which is, you know, not something you see every day.
Yeah. What is it for you and your company? What is saturation? What is the point where you feel like you've hit a huge milestone in terms of geographies and cities? Is it in terms of US public course population, operators, groups? What's kind of like that, hey, this is, we've hit a huge mark here.
Yeah, I think my North Star metric is number of public golfers that are customers, meaning we have created a white labeled branded booking assistant for their golfers. How many properties are working with us today? And I think, you know, milestone number one is going to be 100 public courses, and then 1,000. I think we can get there in the next maybe year plus. And at the same time, we're keeping very close track of how many incremental rounds we're booking for our courses. So like we just saw in the data, we've done well over 1,000 tee times found for our properties, which is over $200,000 in revenue for our properties, which kind of gets us fired up. And then I think the last one is, you know, how many consumer users we have. So, you know, we're approaching 10,000 on the platform, and just seeing kind of, it's a dance between, again, like that MCO leader said, are we focusing on the consumer or are we focusing on the course? And then how do we keep that flywheel steady? So, you know, nothing tips over.
So for folks who are, thank you for taking the time to do this, by the way, but for folks who are interested on the consumer side or the business side, I mean, whoever's catching this, where can they find out more? And maybe if they're a consumer, sign up, and maybe if they're an operator, get in touch with you.
Yeah, you can either reach out to me, and I'd love to hear your thoughts or feedback. Jake at notify.app, N-O-T-E-E-F-Y, like T, notify. Or you can just go to our site, notify.app, N-O-T-E-E-F-Y.app.
Well, Jake, thank you again for taking the time to do this. I'm excited for you. Sounds like you got some really exciting things happening, developments going on with getting MCOs on board. So congratulations on what you've built, and hopefully we can do this again and you'll be at that 1,000 course goal already.
Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it. And active listener. So thanks for all you do.